This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
How am I made to sleep? I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take.
Real life is scarier than anything we can dream of, and we dream such frightening things. Sci-fi and Scream, Be Afraid, Be Very Afraid, on Joy 94.9.
Wipe that smile off your face.
I have to try and be a whole person before it's too late.
Help this little girl see the sin of her days and ways. If she'd made innocent, the curse of blood would
not. That's not even in the Bible. It doesn't say that anywhere.
Go to your closet and pray.
No.
Pray.
No!
You pray, little girl. You pray for forgiveness.
I can imagine Miss Piggy. I can imagine Miss Piggy being Carrie.
You know? Oh yeah,
yeah.
I could.
Who could play a mother? Which Muppet would play her mother?
Animal.
You reckon?
You know the drama. Animal.
Yeah, he's too animal though.
I guess she's hairy enough.
No, maybe Miss Piggy could be the mother.
Maybe.
And that Julianne Moore play that character. Carrie could be played by the Muppet. Let's see.
What about the the bass player from the band? You know, she's got really big lips and always closed eyes.
She's not evil enough, do you? Oh, she could be made evil.
Well, Carrie wasn't evil. She was just pushed to the edge.
Yeah. Maybe they'll just do a little mini pig.
Maybe.
Like a little mini me.
Maybe.
A mini Miss Piggy.
Yeah.
Could be a way to go, especially because there is pig's blood involved in the film.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'll get to that. This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9, a special podcast. We're looking at Carrie the movie.
Yeah,
spoilers. There's lots of spoilers in this podcast. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yep, fantastic.
And the difference with this film review, the wonderful, refreshing difference for you, the listener, is it's not just the screamer. For the first time ever, I believe, possibly, maybe the second time, I do have a companion here to help me do a review about a movie that's due to be released. And it's Carrie. It's the reboot, the new version or remake, whatever you like to call it. And it's to be released throughout Australia November 28th, which is this week, I believe.
Yeah, in a couple of days.
Today's the 25th?
Yep. Yes. Thursday. This Thursday.
That 28th of November. Now, who is that? That's Bailey O'Neill from the A to Z of Horror. Hello, Bailey.
Hello. How are you doing?
I don't know. I'm shouting, but... I can't help. It's one of those days. It's a moon day today. It's moon day madness.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not often that you get somebody to chew the fat when it comes to a movie that we've just seen. And we saw it at Acme. Very kindly, they donated their screen.
Mm-hmm. For this. To about four or five people.
Well, there was a few. No, I think there was a couple of ushers there. So that's about seven or eight people.
Eight, including the staff.
And, of course, this is the 2013 American supernatural horror film, Carrie. Now, it's the third film adaptation of the Stephen King's 1974 novel. Of the same name. Now, this is produced by MGM and Screen Gems. And, of course, it stars Chloe Grace Moretz as the titular character, Carrie White, Julianne Moore as Carrie's lovely mother, Margaret White. And the film's directed by one of our own community, and she is out and proud. And it is none other than the director, Kimberly Pierce, American director, and, of course, probably most well-known for doing Boys Don't Cry many moons ago now, about 12 years ago, in fact. We haven't seen a lot of her work, Kimberly, but hopefully this is the beginning of a new phase of her directorial career.
I really hope so. She deserves, like, a shot, you know?
Nobody said get shot.
No.
Yeah, deserves a shot at it.
No.
Yeah. No, good on her. She's a lesbian. She's happy about that. And we are too. And
ecstatic.
Ecstatic. And I do wonder in this film if there's a few little indicators of that through the film. Maybe in the shower scenes. But
I think there's more than a couple.
Oh, that's even more than I would have thought. All right, so this film is the big one. They've been holding this back quite a few times, actually. It was released, I believe, closer to Halloween in the US, but here they've waited a very long time. Actually, October 18th of this year in the States. But like I said, it's November 28th when this is going to be done. Originally, it was supposed to be March the 15th. So that is quite a pushback. Yeah, remember I told you in one of my late night messages to you how upset I was that Carrie wasn't going to be around in March?
Sort of.
But I can understand why they waited for the Halloween season.
Yeah. It's a very sense. Halloween-y kind of movie.
It is. It is. I'm surprised it isn't set on Halloween, but instead on a prom night, which could be whenever graduations are in the US. They're probably in October anyway, aren't they? Or
no.
Spring?
No, because they're sort of opposite for us.
Yeah, spring break.
It would be like June. I'm not really good with months. I can't count backwards in months. So yeah. January, February, March. April?
Maybe. I don't know.
April, May?
Is it their spring?
Yeah.
Because then they go on break, don't they?
Spring break.
Yay. Okay, so what is this all about? Carrie. Now,
oh boy.
Oh boy. What are we talking about? We're talking about, I think most people know the plot story. We've got a young post-adolescent, well, she's 17, or supposed to be 17, but she's a very immature 17-year-old.
Not childish. Just
she's
not developed physically immature.
Well, she's mentally not developed as well because of her mother.
Yes, okay, let's face it. She's not childish.
Yeah. Socially inept.
Yep, that's
that's Sonia. I mean, no, whoops. Whoa, Sonia shouts in the mic. It's touchdown. No, and look, apart from all that, look, she's been very repressed, kept in the dark about a lot of things, kept in the closet, actually.
Yeah, quite literally.
Yeah, there's a closet. There's a few closet scenes in there where she says, get in your closet.
Yeah, her mother actually pulls a few Harry Potter bits and says, you know, get in the closet under the stairs.
Yeah, but I had to laugh when she really spells out closet. I'm thinking, okay, Kimberly, that's one for us.
Yep.
In the rainbow spectrum. Get in the closet, stay in the closet, and all that. Poor dear Carrie White, she's not looking up to date with trends as far as fashion goes.
Not really.
Not really. She's kept in the closet, kept in the dark. Her mum hasn't told her what menstruation is.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the opening scenes is her flailing about on the shower.
Yeah, it's an early, really heavily establishing shot.
It does go on a bit.
Yeah, it does a bit.
It does quite a bit. And there's a lot of tampons and sanitary pads being flowing about.
Yeah, plug it up.
Plug it up. It sounds like a plumber's ad or something. A pretty tasteless one. Yeah. But let's just say other girls in her school, her PE class or physical education class, they don't have the same feelings towards Carrie. They're not empathetic in any way or compassionate.
So Except for one.
Except for one later on, we do see she feels bad, a bit guilty.
Oh, she is human after all.
She is. Who? Which one?
I don't remember.
Carrie
or the blonde one.
Sue.
Yes.
Good old Sue. Meanwhile, all her cohorts, all her peers, they just can't, they enjoy themselves immensely by bullying poor Carrie, who is bleeding, writhing around on the tiles in the shower changing room, has no idea that her bleeding between her legs means she's now a woman, a real woman, and proceeds to be harassed quite dramatically. And it is dramatic until, thankfully, the good old PE teacher walks in and saves the day, sort of.
With a nice, solid slap to the face.
Yes, that was strange, but I think it was in the first movie, actually.
I don't remember that.
So she apologises immediately afterwards, after slapping the poor girl in the face because she's hysterical.
But it worked. It worked. And
calmed
her
down for a bit.
It was a love tap.
Love tap.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm surprised she didn't get suspended for that as a teacher. Seemed a bit odd.
It seems like it was a small town.
Bit
maybe,
of an artistic,
maybe it was in the South America.
Bit of artistic license there.
Yeah.
Maybe it was in the South.
Yeah. You know, where, you know, rampant racism and
hitting.
And child
teachers
beating
hitting
is fine.
Children. Yeah.
No,
well,
not just fine, but encouraged.
It is encouraged. But the teacher doesn't get to save poor Carrie before poor Carrie is videoed by a cell phone. So that's pretty sad.
Yeah.
And she's crawling around on the floor. And, of course, that goes viral later on in the film.
Yeah.
Mm.
I thought that was a really nice touch, like, to kind of bring it up to date.
Bring
you
it up
know?
To date.
Instead of just plain bullying, like in the original, where it was just, you know, pointing and laughing and teasing. Now it kind of takes it into the modern kind of day. Where
everybody can share in the
where
bullying.
It's cyberbullying.
So the whole world can know about it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very disturbing. Okay, so that's the opening scenes pretty much of Carrie. And then the descent begins with her discovering she has telekinetic powers, of course. She goes to the library to discover these things because
mm-hmm.
She's not very good getting on the internet.
Actually, there's a really cute scene where she's in the library on a computer and she looks over to the person next to her and he's typing, you know,
normally
1,000 words per minute, and she just goes like
tap
with her
what
index
was she
fingers.
Looking up?
Magic powers,
magic
I think.
Magic powers. It took her 5 minutes to type magic powers.
Yeah.
Well, roughly 5 minutes.
Well, she tried. Come on.
She tried. All right, so what do you think of this film?
Honestly, I liked it.
Why?
Well, I went in expecting a train wreck, frankly, because I saw the trailer and it looked like it was a complete, not a rehash, and it didn't bother to do anything new. It didn't bother to really do anything at all, really. But no, it did. I really, really enjoyed it. I mean, I think the characters, especially Carrie, she was really well developed, and I really felt the one of the boys that kind of turned into not really necessarily a friend, but sort of an attempted friend, I guess you would call her.
Which one was he? He was Billy.
Yes. No, not... Well, yes.
Billy him. Nolan, that character.
Yeah.
Played by Alex Russell.
And I thought that him and his girlfriend, I thought that they were a lot better developed than in the old movie. And I really liked them as, you know, as characters and as people.
Yeah. No, I agree with you, actually, because they weren't as developed, I suppose, and they were quite believable.
Yep.
I mean, it's always a shock to me when I go to these films that are based on teenagers' lives and high schools in America, but also you know that they're catering for teenagers and young people as an audience. They're aiming, targeting the audience. It's so preconceived. It's so premedicated. It's very predictable. you know where they're going and who they're trying to sell it to. And all these teenage girls are perfect looking. They're flawless in their skin. Nobody has zits or acne.
No.
And nobody's overweight or obese.
Nope, I couldn't.
No, there was nobody represented there.
Nope,
there were very few people of colour. There were two black people, but that was at the end. They were at the prom. Yeah.
They showed up every now and then throughout the movie.
They're allowed to show up every now and then.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was no Hispanic or Asian people.
Not that I remember.
Look, it's catering for obviously a very white middle class.
Absolutely. But with that said, it is a very faithful remake in that regard.
Yeah, and in that regard. But why isn't it up? If it's going to update with viral social media, why isn't it going to update with representation of all different groups?
Yeah.
I'm just saying. But apart from that, look, I actually really enjoyed it. You know, if I didn't dissect it too much, I enjoyed the fact that Carrie fought back. I think we discussed the special effects. You had to wait quite a while for it to really get, you know, pretty exciting. Like, it has got an R rating in the States, but yet you have to quite you have to wait for it to happen. And I don't understand that rating. I didn't find it to be totally outrageous incredibly violent, really.
No, it wasn't. But the thing is, an R rating...
And it's not realistic violence, let's face it.
Not even a little bit. But the thing is, an R rating in America is the equivalent to MA here. And NC-17 over there is our R18+. So there is that to keep in mind.
It wouldn't be an R18+ here. Oh, it's probably an MA.
I reckon it would have just barely scraped past M to get an MA rating.
But yeah, the curious thing there is you have to wait a long time to see the technical advancements and the special effects.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much when I think Chloe Grace Moretz comes into her own. Yeah. I would say this is far better than what she did in Dark Shadows and the recent Kick-Ass 2. I think when she's covered in that blood, she almost becomes totally lets herself free and becomes another person.
I completely agree. You know, when I was watching the climax with her up on stage and kind of doing her telekinetic shenanigans with her hands.
Telekinetic shenanigans.
Yeah. Yep. No, but it really, really reminded me of the Silent Hill movie at the end with the, when the little girl, I can't remember her name, the little girl invades the church. She's ripping up everybody with the barbed wire.
That was brilliant.
But that gave me a really big Silent Hill vibe just in that specific scene. Apart from that, there's absolutely nothing in common. But I really liked it because it pretty much turned the character upside down completely. It turned her from a victim into, I guess, a victimizer.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you can empathize with her and feel sorry for her that she is a victim. But then you start to see that there are options out of it. And I think that's why they kept with that character, Sue, the beautiful, perfect-looking, blonde young lady played by Gabriella Wilde. Related to Olivia Wilde. And the gym teacher, of course, another person, Miss Desjardins, the gym teacher played by Judy Greer.
Yeah.
Now, those two could be the same person, those two characters. They symbolize a person who is trying to say, no, stop, rethink this. You don't have to go down the path of anger and the dark side of the force. There are options out. But Carrie makes a decision not to take those options. She does decide to go crazy, completely mad. Really. And revenge. We won't spoil it too much, but there's pretty much a trigger point as why she just goes down the path of no return, and mayhem ensues with the usual blood everywhere and blood dripping backwards or upside down. There was all sorts of interesting
special effects.
I really like
that effect, actually.
Yeah, I've never seen that done on... I wouldn't have expected it for Carrie. Of course, there's lots of scissors and knife play with Julianne Moore as the crazy mother Margaret. She's incredibly a zealous religious fanatic, has raised this daughter on her own. Now, you didn't like the opening scenes. Explain what the opening scene was all about,
very, very first scene. Well, I didn't like it. First of all, I didn't like it after watching the original, but also I didn't like it standing on its own. In regards to the original scene is very, very graphic yet subtle way of showing a girl getting her first period, which is basically what sets off the entire train of the movie. And it when I watched it for the first time, it made me very uncomfortable, and of course that was the intention, and I thought it was very well done. Whereas in this, I think it tries to have the same effect, but it just goes way too far, and it just goes into almost stupid territory,
melodrama type of thing.
Just kind of blasé, just kind of
cliche too,
I guess.
Well, the scene is she pops out the baby out of the oven on her bed at home. This is Margaret, obviously. She's supposed to be
completely
a bit younger,
completely by herself. She
she thinks she's got cancer. She says, the cancer's in me, it's killing me, I have cancer. And for a moment you think she's actually died, because she holds her breath, or she's looking straight into the camera, straight up at the ceiling, because we're looking down on her while she's giving birth, going through her contractions. But she hasn't died. And then she pulls up her whatever that outfit, that smocky nightshirt thing she's wearing.
Nightgown?
Nightshirt. Anyway, she pulls it up. It's a cream colour, and there's blood, and there's this head pops out.
And there's a baby.
It's a very big baby, because it's like a 6-month-old baby.
Yep.
No wonder she's in pain. To give birth to a 6-month-old baby.
Oh, it's not twins. It's just a really fat baby.
It's a really giant baby. Anyway, obviously there's a human rights issue there. They can't have newborns on a set. That's probably because it's dangerous.
No, I think that's actually a rule.
Is it really? You can't have a baby under 3 months or something.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I remember there was a movie a while ago that needed a newborn for a lot of the scenes.
They use a lot of robotics now, too, for real newborn babies.
Yeah, but I'm always talking tell about 10 not. Years ago.
Yeah.
10 years ago, they needed...
They use a kitten.
A new... No, but they actually had...
Kitten.
They had they had twins and just swapped them in and out because you can only have a baby... Under a certain age, you know, under a year.
Unhealthy and cruel.
Yeah. And of course, the parents have to be on set at all times. But whatever,
all
blah, blah, blah.
Fuss.
Yeah. I know, it's just a baby. Like, we can make more.
We do not condone baby cruelty in this podcast. We're just silly. No, but there's no umbilical cord. You see the umbilical cord, and then you don't. You see it with the scissors, and these are big shears. These are big sewing scissors. Yep. They're the big buggers with the, you know, the big metal ones with the black handles. They're awesome.
They're as big as your...
And they make lots of lovely sounds.
Yeah.
That didn't sound too good.
No, it didn't.
That sounded like crap.
There's no scissors in here, is there?
No, funny with that. Never run with scissors. You could slip over around the pool.
No.
Never run around the pool either.
Well, there should be a rule, no giving birth with scissors.
No, well, she has them and she's looking ready to, you know, get rid of the cancer, so to speak, a.k.a. baby. But instead, I presume, she changes her mind. She sees its little eyes looking back at her and there's a moment where they bond. That's probably the only moment they really bond.
Probably.
And then she decides, obviously, to raise the child, but in ignorance, pure ignorance.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right, so compare it to the 1976 Brian De Palma, Carrie.
It's the night of the senior prom. The Bates High School gym is alive with excitement. Everybody is there, even Carrie White, the girl no one likes.
We're all sorry about this incident, Cassie.
It's Carrie!
And everyone makes fun of her.
Free Carrie!
The girl who lives in that creepy house with her crazy mother.
See the sin of her days and ways. Show her that if she had remained sinless, the curse of blood would never have come on her.
The girl with the strange power.
If I concentrate hard enough, I can move things.
But tonight, no one will laugh at Carrie.
You don't have a date to the prom next Friday. Would you like to go with me?
She's with the best-looking boy in the senior class.
He's trying to trick me again.
She'll be voted queen of the prom.
You know, I can make sure that you don't hurt Carrie White anymore. Yay!
For Carrie, it will be a dream come true. For everyone else, it will be a nightmare. Carrie. A new film by Brian De Palma. Based on the chilling bestseller. Starring Sissy Spacek, Piper Laurie, and introducing John Travolta in his first motion picture role. You have a date with Carrie.
How would you, you know, if you had to rate the 1976 Brian De Palma, Carrie there, Bailey, how would it rate next to this one?
I think that, well, this is a really hard question because...
Oh, sorry.
No, how dare you? Really, I'm surprised at how much I enjoyed the new Carrie. I'm actually really stunned at how much I enjoyed it because the trailers made it look like trash, frankly.
Yeah.
But no, I reckon the original is better, but I think the remake does stand up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's...
Do you think that people were... I mean, for a lot of people who love horror and particularly versions of Stephen King's stories made into film, the old Carrie or the 1976 Carrie is, you know, it's canon, basically.
Yeah.
It's untouchable, really.
Pretty much.
Do you think the Kimberly Pierce Carrie, the 2013 Carrie, will ever be up there with the old Carrie?
I think it will, just because of, like, a new kind of generation of... people who watch horror.
Yeah,
you know?
Maybe.
And, I mean, frankly, the old Carrie, while it's good, it's dated.
Dated, yeah. But then, curiously, in this film, she's got a very old car that's dated, and it's probably about 1976, 77, 78, the old car that the mother drives around in.
Yeah, but that makes sense.
And it's almost... This is where I had a little bit of a problem, though, because it's almost like... we want you to recognise the old Carrie inside the new Carrie film, that is.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if that's deliberate to try and get older viewers or people who are aware of the old Carrie on side, or to just annoy them, because that those little bits and pieces just did annoy me, because I thought, well, why would she have an old car? Because Carrie wasn't born in the 70s. Obviously, Carrie was born, it says on her tombstone, 1995.
Yeah.
So wouldn't she have had a car from the 1990s? I'm just saying.
Oh, no.
I'm just saying.
No, I think it fits the mother, though, because it's the mother's car. Like, clearly does not embrace the concept of change. You know?
Clearly. No, no.
So, I think that fits. I think that makes sense. You know.
And her hair. The hair dye for Chloe Moritz didn't work. The hair colour was unnatural. Try to be strawberry blonde, you could tell it was a dye pot.
Oh, yeah, but I...
Her natural hair colour is mousy brown. That would have been fine, surely. Maybe.
But I liked it. I think it actually made her look...
But she wouldn't have been able to use hair dye. So it's supposed to be her natural colour.
Yeah, that's but I think that made down. The, I think that made the character, Carrie, look very odd, you know?
Like a doll. Like,
a little bit, you know, but appropriately odd. Not like ugly odd. Yeah, just
but she's not ugly. This is the thing. She's not a really ugly actress. I'm not saying that they should have got a really ugly actress. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying when you see the Sissy Spacek character playing, you know, actor playing Carrie, you see a woman that would not be considered beautiful at all by Hollywood standards.
No.
And she's got those big eyes, a big blue crazy eyes, which are very expressive.
And, and I think a big... kind of staple. I think a big character development point is that it's meant to be a big character transformation on the night of the prom, you know, to go from this kind of mousy, really introverted, really shy, extremely awkward little girl to, you know, a woman who's, you know, actually turning heads, you know?
So you don't think it worked as well on the new Carrie?
No, not even close.
I think she's too pretty. Chloe Moritz. I think she's too pretty. I'm not saying Sissy Spacek was ever ugly. I'm just saying, or aesthetically, it's too...
It's too clean.
Manicured, too precise, too perfect. So those were the things that were weak. The strengths, though, in the actors, and some of the very strong ones, I really loved the performance of Portia Doubleday as Chris Hargensen. Now, she's a nasty little bitch. She's in the team of... pretty girls, popular girls who are nothing but horrible bullies.
Yeah. I really liked her performance. Mm,
she sold me.
Oh, yes.
And there's a great scene. We won't go on about it, but a great car scene.
Yep.
Car wreck scene, which is brilliant. So, caps off to her. She was brilliant, Portia Doubleday. Hopefully, we'll see her typecast in many more films, no doubt. There were some twins in there, too. Carissa Strain and Katie Strain as Nikki and Lizzie. I don't think they said anything, actually, through most of the film.
No.
They didn't have to. They were cool as twins.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they were supposed to be the Soska twins. I don't know, because they had dark hair. But they came to...
And they were also kind of boring.
Yeah, they're kind of boring, but they came to a really lovely end, you could say. Something to put your cigarettes out on. There was the principal, which was cute, played by an African-American actor, Barry Strabaka Henley. Now, he was Principal Morton, and I love that scene where he can't say the word period in the principal's office to Carrie.
So good.
So you've got your blank, just blanks,
and
it's so natural. So there's some good natural sort of acting in there. There's some good casting. Not 100% sure about Chloe Grace Moritz, even though she gave a great performance. She was better when she was hideously covered in pig's blood. That's when I think she could let go, and that was good.
I did really enjoy that bit.
Yeah, and Julianne Moore, always a success. She stretches herself brilliantly. She's believable as Margaret, the maniacal, crazy religious, overtly, you know, too devout mother of Carrie's. I would like to see a bit more of those two. The ending, it was a bit odd, but I looked at the ending of the original Carrie, and actually someone does survive in that.
Oh,
and
really?
It is the Sue character in that, played by Amy Irving.
Ah, so the friendly.
She has a dream about Carrie with her hand coming up through the rubble. So it's interesting how... with these classic films, you can get it so wrong, what you think you know about the film, until you look back, you realise that's not what you saw at all.
Yeah.
That's the great thing about these sort of genre films.
Yeah, that is right. I mean, I remember watching a movie a little while ago that was a remake of a movie that I'd seen a fair while ago.
Yeah.
And there was this one particular scene. I can't remember. I just remember the general idea of it. But I've said, that is so wrong. That is not how it happened. And I watched the original. I'm like, oh, that is how it happened.
Yeah, well, I was the same, you know. I thought that her hand just comes out of the rubble, but no, it was actually in a dream. So maybe it did, maybe it didn't happen in the original 76 film. All right, so rating. We have to give a rating, finally. For Carrie the remake. Out of 5?
I reckon a nice 3.25.
3.25. That's not a real number.
Yeah, it is.
3.25 from Bailey, from the A to Z of Horror, and Bailey should know best.
Should, but most should likely doesn't.
Best. No, you should know what you're talking about. For me, The Screamer, Carrie, the new movie, the new version, I'm actually going to give it a 3. No quarters, no halves, no eighths or sixteenths. Just a 3, because I came away feeling a lot better and a lot more assured of it than going in there, because I just thought it was going to be terrible, to be honest.
Yeah, me too.
So I'm pleased. It was,
yes.
I can sigh relief now.
At the very least, you can say it was well made.
Yeah, yeah. And the special effects, like the wonderful stuff that was done, like the way bodies were, like the telekinesis bits where she's pushing and throwing bodies without touching them. You know, you can really see the weight of a body, the strangulation bits. I'm really impressed with that.
I really liked a lot of that. It was really well done.
Yes, and flying scissors and knives, where humans become pin cushions.
Fantastic. Any movie where that happens is just... Got to watch it.
Got to watch it. All right, so that's Carrie, 2013. It's directed by Kimberly Pierce, from our own community there. Produced by Kevin Misher. Screenplay by Lawrence D. Cohen and Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa. It's based on Carrie, the book, by Stephen King. Of course, it stars Chloe Grace Moretz, Judy Greer, Portia Doubleday, Alex Russell, Gabriella Wilde, and Julianne Moore, of course. Music is by Marco Beltrami. I liked the music score very much. Cinematography by Stephen Yidlin. Editing by Lee Percy. And the studio's Misher Films. It is out through MGM and Screen Gems and distributed throughout Australia by Sony Pictures. The release date in America was October the 18th. It runs for 99 minutes. Of course, the language is English, as well as telekineticness. The budget was only 30 million. That's pretty cheap, relatively small. I reckon. It's not like 140 million, like some movies.
Mm.
I think it'll do well in the box office, and it is out this week, November the 28th, in Australia. Go see it. Well, that's Sci-Fi and Squeam's take on Carrie. Nothing to spin your head about, but I'm feeling satisfied.
Yep, me too.
And Bailey is too.
Yep.
That's cool. Thanks for listening to this special review podcast.
Life can take you on some pretty strange journeys and leave you feeling a little bit twisted. Take some time to embrace the darkness so you can fully perceive the brightness of the light. Join us on Sci-Fi and Squeam.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.